Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 14th. That's right. We are recording on Pi Day, if you partake, whatever that means, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, where you can hear us, find us, listen to us, figure us out on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I'm going to wrap around the room here and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show like I do every week, starting with, from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the Minister of Truth, the Father of Faction Figures, the Deacon of Data, he's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir, it's going to be a data-heavy night tonight. How you doing?
All right, and a word of advice to everyone, when you are past the age of 40, do not eat a Cheddar Bay biscuit and drink sweet tea after 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Because what will happen is that Monday, your stomach will tell you, not going to work for me, brother.
Rob had a bad Monday.
Okay.
and normally, Cheddar Bay biscuits are so good.
Yes.
Oh, those are so good. But yeah, if I ate one at 10 o'clock, I'd be rolled up in the fetal position on the floor.
Yeah, and it was bad. It was just imagine in Empire Strikes Back when R2-D2, when he came out of the swamp and he was spewing out the swamp water.
Oh, it was that bad.
Yeah.
So what exactly was that about? Did you just have like a late night craving, or had you not eaten dinner? What was the deal?
I was hungry, and yeah, I was still hungry. I stayed up too late, and yeah, you stay up too late and you get hungry because you should be.
Yeah.
And so it was in the refrigerator. I was like, all right, I'm grabbing this here before I go to bed.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't eat late, man. Anything tears my... The one that gets me is, for whatever reason, mac and cheese. Like the Kraft mac and cheese with powdered cheese and stuff like that. If I eat that past a certain point of night, I have the weirdest, most effed up dreams ever. Like, I never remember my dreams, but when I eat Kraft macaroni and cheese late for dinner, brother, it is like chasing Alice down the rabbit hole. It is otherworldly. Mm. All right, and the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, he is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week?
It's wonderful, Rob, to wit to all those wonderful nicknames that DJ gives me. That meal sounds like a meal that I would have at around 11 o'clock on a Sunday. But when I'm doing that, there's usually performance enhancers involved. And Rob, in honor of Pi Day, Mr. Math.
Yes.
How far can you go?
Oh, man.
Oh, on the spot. Look at that.
3.1423.
Nope. Jeez. 3.14159. Come on, man. You're killing me here. The math man couldn't even get that 3.14.
Yeah, 3.14 is all I could have done, so.
I looked it up to check and I didn't get much further. I 3.1415 is as far as I got. So, but man, come on, Rob.
Look,
do better tomorrow.
Well, what's the square root of negative one, sir?
I don't know, but I don't purport myself to be a math guy.
Boy, we started off in a weird, weird direction here this week on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Isn't there no? Isn't it some unknowable number or something? Doesn't the calculator break?
It's an imaginary number.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And see, I did know. So screw you.
I took a whole class called complex analysis where we did a bunch of derivatives and problems and equations with imaginary numbers.
Right, and Rob found out how to get from that to the imaginary number, and I could not tell you that with a gun.
I need a sound bar right now because I need that sound bite from Revenge of the Nerds where Ogre is sitting there and he's just like, nerds! I need the sound bite. Like, you guys are killing me right now.
Hey man, it's Pi Day. We got to celebrate.
You guys are reinforcing the fact that I am the third smartest person on this podcast.
See, we learned how to draw power from the dark dimension. Yes.
and we access it by the square root of what? -1? Is that what you said?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, that's how we access the power of the dark side, is the square root of -1. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You just learned something on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. But we did not hear, we are not here to talk to you guys about nerd math stuff. We're here to talk wrestling, and I guess the big news, the only news this week worth really, really mentioning is the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks, worst kept secret in professional wrestling, quite honestly, secretly, not so secretly, advertised for the AEW event last night. She did indeed show up, and I didn't watch it. I'm going to let the other boys take over here. They started off right off the rip, did they?
Yes.
Yeah, so they started the show, and her music hit, and obviously they were in Boston, so the place went bananas. And it was so much so that I couldn't even hear her music. I think she has new music other than that god-awful stuff she had when she was in New Japan, because it definitely had more instrumentation and stuff to it. But you couldn't even hear it, really, over the cheers, because everyone was so happy to see her.
For what people were saying on my timeline, that's a good thing that you couldn't hear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from what I saw on my timeline, people are not, basically, they were like, the presentation was good of, like, the overall presentation. The music was the worst part of the whole thing.
Well, I would tell you that was the worst part about her indie run so far. So, if it's the same music or remixed or something, no, go back to the drawing board, guys. But in any case, she came out, she cut the promo, I'm here. You know, I started the women's revolution. I'm here in AEW. Let's have fun. And I have unfinished business with some people. And thank you and good night. And I was like, all right, Rob, I don't know. What'd you think? Rob, because I will admit, I bowed out at that point. I was like, well, Tony, good job on not getting me to stick through this show. You could have beat me over the head a little bit more that Sasha was going to show up again. Aside from just Sasha casually mentioning the people who are going to be in the main event, because it really just sounded like she was advertising the main event, like a good little wrestler at the beginning of the show. So anyway, Rob, she came out at the end?
So the main event was a women's match. It was Willow Nightingale versus Rio, and then so Willow Nightingale won. And then Julia Hart and Sky Blue came out and jumped Willow, and then Mercedes came out there and saved the day. And there were a few problems. The problems were that this is one of those things where you had to be like watching for the last few weeks to know what all was going on there, why all that stuff happened. So that was, you know, yeah, I mean, that was a little weird. But as far as presenting Mercedes, I'd say they did it right. They brought her out at the beginning. Just remove any doubt. Don't keep people waiting and waiting and waiting. And since she didn't have a match, you know, then I think it was right to bring her out there at the beginning, since she didn't have a match. Like, it wasn't some surprise showing up to challenge somebody or something.
She did do a run-in, but that running in to save Willow I don't think that has an impact for a debut. No offense to Willow, but not the same the way it happened this way. This was way better.
Yeah. So as far as her introduction, I'd say they did everything they needed to do, and I give Tony a good grade for that. Now,
B-. He's got to tell me she's going to show up again. Maybe say if Mercedes said that she was like, oh, I'll be watching that match very closely, then I didn't hear it or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. do what WWE does. They show up a couple of times. They then backstage with somebody, do an interview. Then they walk by and see a friend. And then they, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because that keeps me watching through the whole show.
Well, they did do that, but it wasn't until like 9:45.
Yeah, that okay. That
and that doesn't help.
That doesn't tell. Yeah, it doesn't solve that problem.
Right.
Because I'm already way gone.
Because it, you know, so, it would have been better to have her, you know, dip back in at like 8:45 and then she'll begin at 9:08 or something. You know, that would be right.
And as we get further into this discussion here in just a few minutes, Rob's going to break out some data that kind of proves the point that you guys are saying here is that on a show that was her debut, you probably could have peppered her in a little bit more to keep people interested because the ratings tell a very interesting story. Rob's got the data. He's going to go over that in a few minutes. But I want to talk just for a few minutes here about the importance of her being there and what this means, you know, for the industry. You know, obviously, you know, the people that are very, very pro AEW are now walking around with their chests out. This is an L for WWE. It's an L for Triple H. They couldn't get her back. She went to AEW. I think that the thing that we need to make very clear is there is a reason why she went to AEW, and it's not because she thought it was the better company. They just simply offered her more money for less work. And that's a no-brainer. Like, when you look at everything, you know, the WWE schedule, everything that you have to give to yourself. And then you look at what they probably offered her in AEW, probably will be just say twice as much money for less than half the work. Any idiot on the planet would take that contract. I would take that contract and I don't even care for AEW. So, you know, we need to start there. But two, I think this is a good place for her to land. And I think we've talked about this in the past. WWE is stacked right now, just with everything going on. And as we fantasy booked, before we really knew she was going to AEW, I know on this episode, on some of the other, I think on DWI, we may have talked about this and a couple other things. We talked about, you know, where Sasha might land. And if she landed in WWE, because we all fantasy booked it, and it's going to take me a minute to get used to calling her Mercedes, so bear with me. Where was she going to land? And we all fantasy booked her back into WrestleMania somehow or another. But that's just it. It was all fantasy booking because with all the plates they have spinning in the air, there really isn't a good spot for her right now, even if the money was right. Like, you're bringing her back just to bring her back. At least in AEW, she's walks in the door a top established star as Mercedes Moné. And now you can jettison her right to the top of the card and have her in there mixing it up with the top women of your division. And that's from a work standpoint, that's smart. So yeah, I think it's good for her financially. It's excellent for AEW because she is an established name. Now, whether or not her name value carries any longevity past day one, week one, month one, you know, much like a discussion we were having when CM Punk first returned to AEW, we're going to be having similar discussions about Mercedes Moné as to whether or not this initial heat and all this momentum is sustainable. In my experience with former WWE talent going elsewhere, I would say it's probably not sustainable past 6 months, and that's being generous. And we saw it with CM Punk. And please, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. The data proved that while, yes, there was a bump when he was on the show in their overall ratings, his initial shock value bump was not sustainable. And that's what I'm interested in, because that's going to tell the story as to how valuable she's going to be to that company. So we'll start with Rob. Do you have any more thoughts on this?
Well, okay. So now, I guess first, to your point about why she went there, because this is kind of a sidebar, but Will Ospreay, you know, did the interview and he gives a similar answer basically. And this is for all of you people who were, you know, kind of, puffing your chest out and think you're scoring points here. Will basically said, look, he just, you know, he's in a new relationship. And he has a stepson now, and they're in the UK. Stepson and his fiance, I think, just started school. She has a kid, and she had recently lost her husband. She's a widow with a kid, and now, well, so he's like a dad and a boyfriend, basically, and they're in the UK. So he can't really be here full time. He can't live here full time. If he'd gone to WWE, he'd had to live here full time. And he can't just, he's not, he cannot do the WWE schedule. And basically, what the offer they got from him was basically, you know, and obviously if they offer you enough, then you take the inconvenience, yes. But it wasn't enough to deal with the inconvenience. And so going to AEW, he gets to live in the UK still. He can just come over here when it's time to work.
And he even posted something on Twitter after one of his last matches. He was said, you know, want to thank you guys, because it sounds like he's going to come and do like little tours with AEW. And he said that. He's like, you know, I had a great tour. Thank you guys for having me. I'm heading back to the UK now. And, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of flattering things to say about the guy, but I'll put that over. You know, he prioritized his life, and, you know, he's in this relationship. He's got this new kid that he wants to be present for. And I can't disrespect that.
Yeah, and so here's his final sentence was, he said, as always, you can go be a superstar in WWE, but it's not as good of a pay as what Tony was offering, and it's not as kind of a schedule. And he said, I respect everyone there doing it, but it's not for me.
I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah, and then so that's what it is, folks. I mean, that's where we are right now, right? And, you know, people like him and like Mercedes and like Okada, you know, they got schedule in mind and traveling in mind and, okay, and, you know, is being, you know, doing the 5-day schedule for WWE, can I do that with the things I have going on and where I live and all that type of stuff? And if the answer is no, then, I mean, it really sounds like there's no hard feelings by none of these folks. Like, none of these people are shitting on WWE. They're just saying, hey, man, I got this other offer and it fit my lifestyle better.
Right. I mean, we also, you know, when you look at like Okada, we'll take Okada and we'll compare him to Shinsuke and Asuka. Shinsuke uprooted everything and moved to the U.S. Asuka has become fully entrenched in the United States lifestyle. And that was for her. This was for him. With Okada, he may very well want the opportunity. Hey, if I want to go back home to Japan, I want to be free to do that. And if I'm on the WWE road grind, the availability to do that may be, you know, greatly diminished, if not almost non-existent, because, you know, WWE also has obligations outside of just wrestling. They have appearances. They have, you know, other things that they do. It's a huge commitment. Yeah. And if you're not ready to commit to that, it's not the place for you.
And now in Mercedes' case,
I mean, we laugh about the WWE superstar thing, but it is more than a professional wrestling job.
Yeah. And now in Mercedes' case, look, she's, you know, thanks to, you know, the Mandalorian stuff, she's a full card carrying member of the convention circuit now.
Yes.
And hey man, do you go to a convention on a Saturday or on a weekend and you sit at the table and you take some pictures and you sign some autographs, or do you go to Poughkeepsie and get dumped on your head?
And again, from Stephen Amell's own mouth, you walk away with trash bags full of cash.
So do you do that, or do you go to Poughkeepsie to get dumped on your head on a Saturday?
I'm going to this autograph signings.
Yeah. Okay. So
again, what's your name, kid? It's not an indictment on WWE as a company. It's just a no-brainer. Like, it's good business.
Right.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, that's the way you should take these decisions, okay? We're at a point, it's not, trust me, the wrestlers are not feuding with each other between companies.
Okay.
Because if you saw it at Super Bowl, Mercedes was there, Bayley was there, Trinity was there, and Britt Baker, they were all hanging out together at the Super Bowl.
Well, and also, who was it? Tamina and Naomi.
And Jimmy, they were all there at the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, last night of Dynamite.
Oh yeah, Trinity and Tamina and Bayley were all
ski masks and were went to the
so they wouldn't get, because you know, some dumbass would have pointed the camera at them if they recognized them in the crowd.
Oh, it wasn't even like
their production team is that smart.
Well, they don't care about getting fired. They care about being bothered.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, so to that end, yeah, guys, this, you know, please stop trying to, if you're trying to score points here, just don't. Okay. Just don't.
The war has gotten exhausting because it doesn't even exist. I mean, there are genuinely probably wrestlers who have some heat with each other. Yes. And they probably work for opposing companies, but in general, Kevin Owens has got friends that work over there. Half of these guys have probably got friends that work over there. It's, yes. I mean, you see them online. Somebody from AEW will comment to somebody in WWE and vice versa. Like this imaginary battle line that you guys have drawn is so stupid and so ridiculous. And to be honest with you, it's the biggest reason why I won't watch AEW.
But looping back to Sasha for Mercedes for a minute.
It's going to take a minute, buddy. It's been two years.
She's been Mercedes. Come on. I'm better than that.
Dude, it's been, what, 2 years since he's been gone, and I still can't call him Brian Danielson?
Yeah, I know, and that's his freaking shoot name. They call him that on the
I can't call him his shoot name. It's always going to be Daniel Bryan. It's, sorry, guys, I'm an E-drone. Deal with it.
And the worst part is, like, I watch Total Bellas and all that stuff with my wife, and they call him Brian. I'm like, I hear him more as Brian than I ever do, Daniel Bryan, and somehow, here we go. But anyway... but yeah, I was going to say about her debut. And also, DJ, as you were saying, like, oh, she can mix it up with the top card. She can get that, you know, get that going. And that is great. And that is true. Props to Tony not doing it on night one. I'm dead serious. Props to Tony to not immediately like, oh, dentist or oh, championship. Just let it breathe. Her coming back is a pop unto itself. It is big enough. We clearly saw that. I couldn't hear her friggin' music. So, again, hats off. Good job, Tony. Just beat me over the head with it a little bit more that she's going to come back because you lost me. So, and I would have liked to see that live.
All right. Well, Rob, let's talk data. Let's dip into the Genius Corner and give us. You've got the ratings breakdown.
Yeah, because that is, of course, that has been the $1 million question all week. People were wondering, well, you know, is her being there? What effect is it going to have? And you know, and they loaded up the show also, and so there was a lot going on there, and so she came out at the beginning and. They started out good. They started out over 1 million viewers at the beginning when she came out there. They usually start out in the 900s. So that's, you know, a little bit better than normal. Okay, that's... But then after that, things took a turn. and to be fair, look, when on Friday nights, if the Bloodline comes out there at 8 o'clock, you know, once they're finished, it's...
Yeah.
Or if they come out at 9 o'clock, and you know, if then when they're finished,
you see a significant drop off depending on who's next.
Yeah.
Unless they make it abundantly clear that this is not the last you've seen of the Bloodline, then they maintain. I mean, because then the Bloodline
does
show
up. Crater is bad.
Right.
Exactly.
But when they do the big definitive. Okay, 8:15, we're out of here.
Yeah, Roman literally says, like, fire up the jet and throws the mic.
Yeah, we're out of here.
That, all of a sudden you hear, from my Xbox.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
But, so that did kind of happen here. Things started dropping, and they perked back up at 9 when Ospreay came out there, and he did a promo,
Hey, man. Another one, he is over. Like, whatever we can say, like, that was a legit, I did watch some of that.
Yeah.
That was legit pop. That was not just dumb chance for the sake of dumb chance of AEW fans being AEW fans. For now, they're excited for this dude to be here. So, hey, man, it's working.
And honestly, he talks a lot better than I thought he did. So.
Yeah, or he improved, because I swear I've heard him talk before, and it never sounded this natural.
Well, and he's found a catchphrase. What is it, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a catchphrase. You know what? That's all it takes sometimes because we're dorks as wrestling fans. We've been chanting what for 20 years.
Yeah. So there it is. And now here comes the bad news. Well, this is good news, bad news. Okay. Well, the good news was they had a women's match for main event. Ooh. Bad news. That's good news. The bad news.
No, I can feel the bad news coming. That's why I went. Ooh.
The bad news is they. All right. It wasn't like a championship match. It was Willow Nightingale versus Riho, and that's you know, they're fine, they're great and all, but this was after, not only was it after Mercedes, but it was after a world title match and after Okada and a tag team match with the Elite, and it was after the Ospreay promo, and it was after Jay White versus Darby Allin, and it was after Chris Jericho and Hook in a tag team match. And you can imagine after all of those things in a row,
you put your main event in the death slot.
What do you think a lot of people are going to do after you watch all of those things in a row?
They're going to be looking for Cheddar Bay biscuit at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Again, unless you would cut up for 8:30, you know, where Sasha does an interview with Brene. And said, damn it, Mercedes does an interview with Renee. And she says, oh, you know, I'm going to be watching that main event or something. Or fuck it, just put it at commentary. Beat us over the head with it. I don't care. Like, it's wrestling. We appreciate all the subtle long-term storytelling stuff, but we also appreciate the fact that it is a live production every night that you have to hold my attention.
Yeah, so
you guys watch AEW a lot more than I do. I watch clips and I watch, you know, nuggets here and there that I catch online. Rob, you just explained the entire card that they had. You know, we had Will Ospreay and we had Hook and we had Chris Jericho and we had the Elite and we had Jay White. We had all these established stars. Are Willow and Riho as big as those names in AEW land?
No.
No. Okay, so we could not have found two larger, like, what the fuck was Toni Storm doing at 9:45 Wednesday night? They've got a huge gimmick in Toni Storm that people are actually buying into, and you've got somebody like Deonna Purrazzo on. You couldn't have had two. This is not a knock on Riho and Willow, okay? But for what you're trying to do...
Well, they
could have put two more important women in that main event, especially since it was a non-title match anyway.
But it's clear that they're pairing Willow and Mercedes up in some form or fashion, whether they end up fighting or they end up tagging for a little while or they end up just being frenemies or whatever. It's clear that that's the next step for Mercedes' story.
Here's the problem.
So Willow has to be in it, but... Again, I don't know.
But you're referencing a feud that nobody here knows a fuck about. Okay, exactly. There may be a handful of people in that audience that know about the history that Sasha has with one of those girls in that match.
Well,
I forgot about it until it all rolled out, and we were talking about it after Dynamite went off the air.
And even
that's my point. There's no association with the audience for Sasha and this girl and again, this is AEW's core problem. They don't cater to the casual fan. Casual fan don't fucking know about that.
And also,
I've been used doing a wrestling podcast for 3 years, and I did not remember that.
And also, they didn't have a feud either. Basically, they had a match last year.
Yeah.
And Sasha hurt her. Sasha legit broke her ankle during the
match. Yeah, that's when Sasha hurt herself.
And so they had to change the finish, right?
But that's such an inside the bubble thing.
Yeah, so it's not a feud. They didn't have heat backstage or something. No. It's just.
My understanding is that Sasha like tumbled off the top rope or something like that. Took a bad. It wasn't even like done in a move, was it?
I think she was climbing up there and she slipped and it happens.
Yeah. So it wasn't even like somebody was performing a move and somebody got hurt. It was just because Charlotte was in the middle of performing a move when she fell and tore her knee. But
it was an accident. Still,
yeah, it's such a weird
straight
thing.
Up, like accident. That
that's really awful.
Sorry. It ain't ballet, guys.
It's two steps forward, two steps back with this, because they bring Mercedes, they bring Mercedes out in this incredible moment at the start of the show, and then as far as I'm concerned, they crap the bed at the end by getting her involved in a match that the ratings are telling you nobody gave a crap about, in a storyline that nobody knows about.
Well, I guess to me, they shouldn't have put that match. They put that match on at 9:45, and just they lost over 100,000 people at 9:45.
What was the numbers from 9:45 to 10?
627,000.
They fell off from minute one to the last 15 minutes, almost 400,000 viewers.
And now it was a gradual decline, of course. And then it went back up for Ospreay, and it stayed up for Darby versus Jay White. And then it started to dip again after that. And so they went from 732 to 627 for that match, because like I said, it's 9:45. Again, you've just been given all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And look, and I'll give you a parallel example. When I went to Raw back a year or two ago, remember I said at 10 o'clock, Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles came out there for that match?
Yeah.
And then as soon as they were done, it was time to go home.
You headed to the parking garage early that night.
Yeah. They were done like at 10:20. And I said, you know what? That's my main event.
how do you top that?
And it's a similar thing here, right? I mean,
if I remember, you didn't miss anything wonderful.
It's great, but I mean, and that's exactly, and it's just putting them on again after a world title match, after Okada, after Ospreay, after Darby and Jay White, after Chris Jericho. You put them on after all of those things. No, you know what? You overloaded people for an hour and 45 minutes, and then you're ending the show with something that, again, that is not that important in the grand scheme of things.
By the way, hey, oh, sorry, this is live. I am watching the Celtics game, and there was just an ad for Dynamite. Guess who's in it?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I have it on the background too here. But
already got her in the commercials. Mercedes Moné.
Yeah.
Good for them. Smart. Like, fall, again, you know what? I'll even be generous, Tony. Be A-. Just, again, beat me over the head that she's going to come back.
Well, it's just, all right. Her but part.
It's her debut. A-, man.
Well, what they did with her was good. It's just they shit the bed with how they format the rest of it. And she's at the Celtics game.
Right.
And okay. And yep. So again, good job, Tony. She's
they're going to get her in front of everything, man.
Yeah. So she's at
the Celtics. And they should. They really should.
Well, yeah.
Yep, like, there she is.
As a bit of a cliffhanger from last week's episode, we did talk a little bit about, with the moves that AEW has made in the last month or so, can they turn the corner? And I was very honest. I said, I hope they do. You know, for the health of the business, for the benefit of the workers.
Here
I
she
hope
is.
They do.
Courtside at a nationally broadcast Celtics game.
Yeah.
That's well huge done. Exposure for them. Yeah, and kudos to them for rolling this out like this.
Yeah. And but now this is a work in progress, because again, if you looked at the show that they had, if you looked at the lineup they had on paper, it was excellent. And you know, everything lived up to what it was supposed to be, right?
Yeah, my understanding was Dynamite was good this week. Like, yes. From top to bottom, the show was good, from what I understand. It was
awesome. Yeah, but formatting matters. What order you put things in matters.
Right.
Like, there's a reason when you go to a concert that the band has a set list. In a certain order. They have the set list in a certain order, right? And in this case, the set list was not the order was not.
You don't close the show with November Rain. You know, it's going to put your crowd to sleep. It's a wonderful song. It really is a wonderful song, but it's not your biggest hit. And, you know, the first half of that song is going to send people home sleepy.
Right. And so it's just Tony did not do, he didn't, again, he didn't do the, he did the women's division a disservice at the end of the show by putting them on when they were on. You could have run that same match, but you could have run it at 9 o'clock So where people would have stuck around because there was still some more stuff to come. And that's what you got to do. Like, because this is what, I mean, on Monday nights, they do this sometimes. If they certain things, they'll tuck in between stuff. Just so it doesn't, you know, because if they put it on at 10:15, you know, it's going to lose a bunch of people. But if you put it on at, you know, 8:45 in between a couple of things, it won't lose as many people. And that's what they should have done here. And they did not. And it suffered for it. And
you want to look at historically how people have used your product. And if you know that most people are going to tune in the 9 o'clock hour to see, okay, what's coming this hour? Is there anything I'm going to be interested in? But you know they're going to check out by 9:15. You know if there's something that you think is going to be a meaningful angle, you want to place it the right part in the show, like what they did with Candice LeRae and Maxine the other night. You know, ain't nobody giving a damn about Candice LeRae lately because they haven't booked her worth crap. Like, she's done nothing meaningful for months. But if you're going to give her an angle, you've got to place that where you maximize your viewership so that enough people look at this and say, okay, am I going to invest in this or does this stink? You know, it's a gamble either way, but putting them where they did, like Rob said, a disservice to those two girls who I think deserve better.
Yeah. And so, again, it's a work in progress. And now as far as, you know, with Mercedes, night one, I would say overall, I'd say night one was a win. But, you know, the question is, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, right? And so it all comes down to how you book the division, because now you have an opportunity now. Okay, you have her there as the anchor, basically, and you have Toni Storm, and you have Deonna Purrazzo, and Britt Baker is going to be back soon, and
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It would probably be a good idea. Yeah, it would probably be a good idea to put Athena on the television show now.
I was about to say they have access to Christ. Athena, Belle LaBelle is one of their best talents.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to, you know, might be a good idea to do that this year, Tony.
let's move on. I'm going to get angry.
The longest reigning champion in AEW currently, and she can't get on TV.
Okay. It's the first time listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We all love Athena.
Oh, no, we're not clowning her.
No.
Not one bit. This is not a knock on her. Let me be very clear here.
I want to move on. Otherwise, I'm going to cut a 15-minute promo on Tony, put my girl on goddamn television.
Yeah, we're going to move past that because that's a whole discussion.
Yeah. But so one last thing as far as AEW before we move on. Wardlow, buddy, it is time to make the phone call to
TKO. Yep. So you're back in the bag, my friend.
It's time.
Call Farrell. He knows a guy. Just let him know. He'll get you a plane ticket. You're going to be fine. Yeah, Farrell will help you out.
Speak to Farrell first, because then they can't claim contract tampering.
Exactly.
Because Farrell is an uninterested third party.
Look, I love Samoa Joe, okay? But they had that man tap you out in the middle of the ring.
It's a damn shame.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, all right. As a whistle, it's time to go, brother.
So we just did something we don't normally do here. We spent at least half the episode talking AEW news, AEW recent events.
Putting it over too, mostly.
We absolutely put it over. You know, I mean, we criticized where I thought it was appropriate, but we put over the good stuff. We're going to go to commercial, but before we go to commercial, I do want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, I want you to look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Pick one up. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we are going to be talking WrestleMania stuff, more specifically Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, The Rock, Seth Rollins. What does this all mean? How does it stack up to last year? Rob's got some more data on the backside of the commercial break. We'll be back in a minute. All right, and we are back. Again, this is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you to always use your heads. We are on the road to WrestleMania. We are talking WrestleMania on the second half of this episode. We're going to be talking Rock, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, the main event, whatever the hell they're doing right now. And how did it stack up to Cody Rhodes versus the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns last year, ratings-wise, data-wise? Has The Rock made a difference? People have mixed emotions about The Rock's involvement. Some people really, really digging it. I fall on that half of the bracket. Some people really think it stinks. I don't know why. I'm still scratching my head as to why people are dumping on one of the greatest of any generation now being heavily involved in WWE programming again. And Rob will either confirm what I'm about to say or correct me if I'm wrong, benefiting the talent overall by him being there. And, you know, Rob, you've got some data. Let's do some more data diving, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this.
Okay, so, because there, you know, there's some people, you know, kind of wondering, like, you know, some people think that him being involved in all this kind of, you know, convoluted going around the bend to, you know, to get to where we're going, it's kind of spoiled things and, you know, and all that type of thing. And my belief has been from jump that you could not just have Cody and Roman cut promos on each other for 9 weeks. And look, and that's been, I mean, the past maybe almost 10 years, that's been kind of, that's an issue now with WrestleMania season, because all of us were all too plugged into everything now. So back in the day, yeah, you could just do promos for 2 months and do some vignettes for 2 months, and then maybe have a couple of segments where people get into it, you know, and then you'd be fine. But you can't do that now because people get bored, okay? Because we got a million other things to do. And we're all plugged into everything and all this. So, you know, 9 weeks of, and you know, and they want people to actually watch the television show for the 9 weeks. Right. And so this is why, yes, you do come up with these convoluted plots. And sometimes they can be, very confusing. And it's like, oh, what the hell's going on? And da, 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 da. But most of the time, they ultimately do pay off. And so, you know, going to the magic world of the WWE's YouTube channel so far this year. Okay. If we're just looking at the top, like, TV segments, the most viewed, the things they've done from TV that are the most viewed this year, like, on, okay. So when The Rock came out there on January 1st, and he did the thing with gender, that has over 7 million views. And, like, all of the segments, the segment where The Rock came out there and where Cody said that, you know, not at WrestleMania, that has almost 6 million views. And the segment from last Friday has 3.8 million views already. It hasn't even been a week. Okay. And they got another segment from a couple weeks ago that has 3.5 million views. And they got another one that has 2.7 million views. Okay. And these are all things that haven't even been up for, like, a lot of them haven't even been up a whole month. Okay. The oldest one is from January 1st. And we're talking 3, 5, 7 million views for these things. And now you compare that to last year. Roman and Cody had a few segments together. And, well, the results weren't quite as favorable. These are numbers after being up for a year, by the way. This is stuff from last year. Okay. Here's one from March 3rd that just got over 1 million views after a year. There's another one towards the end of March that, okay, the most viewed one they had from last year was from March 20th, where it was like a Roman, Cody, and Solo all in the ring, and Roman held back Solo from going after Cody. That after a year, that has 1.9.
Okay. And that's literally only like 2 weeks away from WrestleMania itself.
Yeah. And so that's been up for a year. And so
we're not even in the same stratosphere.
No. And so it matters. It makes a huge difference. particularly in the IWC, people, you know, and on podcast land and everything, people get really upset about these convoluted plots and twists and turns that happen more often now with some of the big matches. But more often than not, again, they pay off, because you can't just go in a straight line for 9 weeks. And we can go back to 2019. Okay. The main event of that show, there was a very convoluted plot leading up to the ladies' main eventing. And yet on the go home Raw, with the infamous police incident, that has almost 50 million views.
That is still one of my favorite segments from that year.
Yeah, and
great TV.
That has almost 50 million views now. Okay. That's one of the most viewed women's TV segments ever. It has over 50 million views and counting. Okay. And you don't get there if they don't go through all those convoluted twists and turns that people were mad about. You don't get there.
Okay? You also don't get there without Ronda Rousey.
Well, right.
The funny part, the comparison here, you don't get to this stuff without The Rock. Obviously, The Rock is not the same as Ronda Rousey, but I'm talking about a meteoric outsider, and Rock is kind of insider.
Two things. One, the people complaining about the convoluted storylines are also the same ones who complain about WWE being too predictable. Like, pick a lane here. It's very predictable if all we do all for right. 8 weeks is two guys stand, one on the freaking stage and one in the ring, jaw-jacking back and forth for 8 weeks. Yeah, that's compelling television. Sorry,
Wait. I'm going to defend the nerds, because you know what? Yes. Give me all this viewership information. WrestleMania 40, they want to make it huge. It's the 40th one. It ends in a zero. Vince McMahon loves even numbers. We get it. We brought back the goddamn Roman numerals. So I get it. I will just say, from my very nerdy, almost afraid to admit it, comic book nerd corner, this story that they've told to this point, unless everyone is lying, which would be hilarious, The Rock lying to Cody, Cody lying to The Rock, Seth lying to Cody, et cetera, et cetera.
And everybody lying to Roman.
Everybody lying to Roman, and Roman lying to everybody. It all falls apart and Roman escapes as champion. Fine. I get it. If Cody Rhodes walks away from this as champion, man, you could have done anything else convoluted for 9 weeks and not dangled the match I've wanted since I became a Roman super fan. Like, it just sucks. So that's my ultimate nerd super fan corner. I'm just going to say that. Everything else you guys are saying is absolutely correct, and I agree with it, and this is why The Rock is back. Because if you weren't going to do Rock and Roman, which I guess they were not, then you're going to involve The Rock somehow. Like, I'd be brain dead to say otherwise. And so this was the best thing they could come up with. Okie dokie. I get it. But again, that's just my comic book nerd. That's when I would say, I would put on my IWC nerd and say, you overbooked this thing.
Well, for the IWC nerds, let's build upon that. For the people that are so anti-WWE that they absolutely hate it, you got to think about the trickle-down economics here of The Rock being involved at the biggest wrestling show in the entire industry. He's going to bring back the lapsed fan that you guys are so passionate about. You know, the lapsed fan that walked away because they couldn't stand what WWE was doing anymore and wrestling was forever ruined for them. They could never watch again. And The Rock is going to bring them back now. The Rock's going to bring people back in. Some of those people may stick around. Some of those people may actually go watch AEW because AEW literally materialized out of thin air and it brought a certain base of fans with them. There are people that are going to watch the other stuff. They're going to be so engrossed in wrestling again. They're going to say, okay, this is cool. What else is out there? Oh, AEW.
Cody Rhodes is going to win the title and they're going to go, what's this guy been up to? And then they're going to find out about AEW. And then some of them are going to start watching it, guys.
Yeah, it's a trickle-down economic effect. The business, the industry wants The Rock back, not just WWE. It's good for the entire industry because, again, some of those fans will trickle down to the other companies. TNA will benefit. AEW will benefit. Some of the indies will benefit. It will get people interested in it again. And it's WWE's job to capitalize on that interest. It's also the other promotions. If you start noticing, hey, more people are watching, start giving them stuff that they're interested in. You know, give them superstars that they give a crap about. Build people up that they may be interested in. And then that's how the machine feeds itself. This is why historically I will always defend bringing back legends. Because if The Rock brings back 2 million people and 500,000 stick around, okay? And of that 500,000, 100,000 go and check out other things. That is huge for the other wrestling companies in the business. It's huge. You know, and you can't undersell that.
Yeah, and also, okay, so this is WrestleMania season, so it's not enough. Like, you can't just do well, okay? You can't just do very well. You can't just do great. Like, you, this is Christmas shopping season, fellow people. Okay, like, you gotta exceed all boundaries during these few months, and they weren't going to get there with just Cody and Roman again cutting promos on each other for 9 weeks. Okay, because part of it is that in kayfabe, there wasn't really anything personal between Cody and Roman.
Yeah.
And like the only history Cody and Roman had fighting each other was Cody was teaming with Dustin against the Shield. And that was 10 years ago. So Cody and Roman in their current iterations did not have any type of personal history or animosity with each other to build anything with.
I mean, they did, but didn't they in that feud, didn't one of them win the tag titles off each other, Seth and Roman?
Yeah, but
and Dustin that, and no, cares. But I'm saying like that's not nothing, yeah. But at the same time, that's the thinnest thread we've got.
Yeah,
it's very thin because Cody Rhodes is now a different human than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and so with Roman and so with Seth Rollins for that matter, and so that's it. And so that just, because look, they did the first match because, you know, depending on who you believe, there were reports that it was because Rock wasn't available, but also, you know, basically Cody sold more t-shirts than everybody else. So he was the biggest thing to put in there, and that's all it was. And, you know, and so, but again, there's no, there was no personal kayfabe history animosity between the characters. And so they had to generate that some kind of way. And so it started with how, you know, Roman won last year.
You can't do another of, you know, another year of my dad, your dad likes me better than you. Like,
no.
You know, and that was as personal as it got, was Paul Heyman coming out and cutting the Dusty promo.
Yeah.
And then Roman just build off of it in the next week. We can't keep working with that.
No. I mean, like, something had to be interjected to generate some real feeling animosity. And, you know, Rock slapping Cody at the press conference, right? That's where it started. And then, you know, and then just last Friday, Cody slapped him back. And so now we got some real heat now. Okay. We got something that feels like some real heat and some real animosity. This is not just, oh, well, these are the two biggest names, so we'll put them in the match at WrestleMania. You know, I mean. So, and they needed to get there some kind of way.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing. We've had this discussion on here before. We've had Ray Cash on here before, and we've talked about, you know, does booking the card sell the WrestleMania, or does the WrestleMania name sell itself? And both answers are true. You know, Ray argued, well, WrestleMania is already sold out. It doesn't matter what the main event is. It doesn't, but how you perform at the show sells the next show. You know, so how the main event is booked, what they do in the main event is important for next year. Because next year we'll say that that's why this year sold out, because the year before was incredible and the year before that was incredible. And this is why it's selling like it does, because they've put on good shows the last two or three years. And so that's the crucial element that I think everybody's missing. Yeah, WrestleMania as a name, it's WWE. It's the biggest show in the industry every year. But if you crap the bed, and there have been some WrestleManias that crap the bed, it can affect next year's gate.
Oh, absolutely. Because, look, I mean, yes, attendance is usually the last metric to change. Because it's basically, it's a result of the things that you've done over the last few months. So today's attendance is not about today's show. Today's attendance is about 6 months ago's show.
Yes.
Okay. That's what today's attendance is. So, and that's what the thing with AEW, when their attendance went off the deep end, it's because they got rid of Punk. And that was the last straw. So it's a reaction to things that already happened. It's not a response to what you're doing today. And so, yes, how people having the Rock here for these few months to build to this match, and then if the matches go and if they're, you know, they're as fun as exciting as people hope they're going to be, then that sells next year's WrestleMania, right? And to give an example here, we go back to a WrestleMania that was not fun at the end for lots of us. But WrestleMania 34 is an example where they crapped the bed in the main event. And I'm here to tell you that they lost from, I'm looking at it in front of me here, from April. In April, they were still doing 3 million viewers on Raw. But because of that WrestleMania and the aftermath of it, by August, they went from by early June, they were down to 2.5.
By July. Some of that can be attributed to the fact that there is the fan base that tunes in for WrestleMania season. And I think we see this with every sport. There are people that don't watch the NFL all year and then tune in for the playoffs.
Well, when you drop that far that fast,
there's a reason, and some of that is probably because of the story they told, and it did affect TV for the next 4 to 6 months.
And then you saw it the very next year, because remember 2019 was when, you know, when they were tarping off sections on TV.
Right.
Why do you guys take me back there, Rob? I try not to.
Okay.
Why you gotta take me back? Oh, it's all coming back. His face is covered in blood. He's gonna win. He's gonna win the Universal. Oh my God!
And Jason decides to trauma dump in the middle of the show.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to give an example of how not doing it right can fuck things up. Okay. And because look, it's not on automatic pilot, folks. Okay. I know, like, some, because things are going so well right now, there are a lot of people who paint this picture where everything's on automatic pilot and it's on cruise control, and, you know, and they can do whatever they want and they can push whoever they want and blah, 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 blah. That's not true. Okay. And no. Now look, they're not going out of business because of any one person. No. But it does not take long to go from riding high to WrestleMania's back at Madison Square Garden. Okay.
Yeah.
It don't take long.
Okay? Yeah. You're always on a precipice and you could fall at any time.
So to that end, you have to max out. Yes, you got to max out during WrestleMania season. If there is a way to get, you know, ridiculously high numbers, higher than ever numbers during WrestleMania season, that is exactly what you have to do. Okay. And they were not going to do that with 8 weeks of Cody and Roman talking to each other.
Which is more or less rinse and repeat of 12 months ago. Then you get a sense of, we've already seen this.
Yeah. And then
he took 6 F5s and he busted his face open.
Jason's still in therapy here.
I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's all good. We'll move on to something else here. We're gonna move on from WrestleMania. We've got just a few more weeks to talk about that, and there's still so much more to come. Before we close out here, and this is Jason, I know you haven't played it yet, but I wanted to kind of talk for a couple minutes about 2K24. I wanted to Rob, feel your thoughts out on this. What do you think of the game so far?
Oh man, I love it so far, man. It's great, man. And I'm still, you know, there's still some new features that, you know, I haven't done yet, but I've set up my universe mode and I've started doing the My Faction stuff and I've been doing the My GM. And something to cheer you up, Jason. I'm in the third year on My GM and your boy, yeah, Dijak was on like a Gunther run with the US title.
Goddamn right he is.
Okay.
That's awesome.
We are Dijak supporters here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Yes. And that's a shoot.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Looks like he might get Oba at Stand and Deliver.
Oh, I'm hoping for that. I mean,
that'll be good stuff.
It's probably Dijak doing the job, being the gatekeeper, man. But they are gonna that is gonna be a meaty man slapping meat tour de force.
Yes.
If anybody on that roster can get him there, it'll be Dijak, and I love him for that.
And so. I love his perspective on things, man, because, you know, because he's talked about how, you know, at one point he was waiting to get the phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought he was going to get cut.
Yeah.
And he opened up that retribution. He was just, you know, he's like, hey, man, you had a dumb idea, all that good stuff, but we tried and we, you know, we did that. Yeah. You know, hey, he's out there doing it, man.
But back to 2K24, I've dipped into it. I started doing the 40 years of WrestleMania. I'm only two matches in, and that's been fun as hell.
Yeah.
Have you played the WrestleMania showcase?
I did the first match, and I haven't unlocked everything on the second one, the Hogan Andre.
Yeah.
Like, I've won the stage, but I didn't unlock everything, so I'm still stuck there right now.
Yeah, I unlocked everything with Savage and Steamboat, and I unlocked everything with Hogan and Andre. Jay was right, man. Andre don't lay down for nobody. Ooh. I must have hit like 3 finishers on that dude before, and I think I finally pinned. I finally beat him after I think I put like a Fujiwara armbar on him, and then rolled him over and pinned him.
Oh, man.
Like it was like the dumbest. It was like the most anticlimactic finish ever. But it took forever to get there because I hit him with the body slam leg drop like 3 times. And the dude just kept kicking out at 2. I'm like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
But one thing I liked.
That's the 2K cheese, man.
Two things that I liked about it. And this is interesting for me because I have not played. I tried to get into the last showcase mode and I just couldn't do it. This one has got me roped in and I like the way they're doing it. One, I love Corey Graves' commentary on this. The way he's telling the story as the match is going along. And I love the mix of the live action archived footage with the simmed footage in game. I think that's so cool. I think it's so neat the way they did it and the way that they've kind of tied Corey Graves' storytelling, and he really makes the key moments seem so important.
How surreal is it to see Vince McMahon blurred out of the footage?
Yeah, Vince McMahon, one of the Hebners. There's somebody else, for whatever reason, his name just fell out of my head, the announcer. Fink. Huh. Fink is blacked out. Fink is blurred out, and I don't know why.
Huh. His family made him just not want to do it.
That's a possibility. They may not have gotten the rights to use him in the game. But one of the other features that I like, I've always been a big fan of, you know, I go right into the settings and I turn the blood on immediately because that's just my thing. When I play WWE 2K, I'm fighting until we're bleeding, and it's great. One thing I like about this one is if you've got a guy and he's busted open and you knock him on the floor, and I don't know if it happens in a ring because I haven't messed around with it, you knock him on the floor and they lay there long enough, like a puddle of blood will appear where they were laying, and it'll stay there. And if you knock them down, like at one point, I had like five or six guys going in some kind of ridiculous, stupid match, and like all of them were busted open. And there were like 8 or 10 little just spears of blood all over the outside of the ring. It was pretty freaking cool. It was a nice little effect that I liked.
Yeah, and then also like now, like when you hit certain moves, like the person delivering the move stays down for a few seconds.
Yes.
Which is more realistic, you know, because if you it affects both people, right? And so.
Well, yeah, if you do a superplex, you're both taking the bump.
Yeah. So that's more of a thing now. And that's a feature that they've added now. And they have the ambulance match. And they have the casket match back.
Both of which are extremely fun. I've played them both. I love them.
I haven't done the casket match. I've done the ambulance match. Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it so far. And look, I think this might be the best edition that they've come out with yet, at least of the ones I've played. And I've been playing it since like what, 2013 or 2014. So one of those years, man, I had I did the universe thing and my WrestleMania main event. It was because I was just simulating stuff and, you know, playing things occasionally. And I ended up with Heath Slater versus Justin Gabriel for like
the main event.
Yes, the main event of WrestleMania. You know, and because again, I was just simulating stuff. I wasn't engineering anything really. And it was just the funniest thing.
5 stars in any arena right there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but did they come back the next WrestleMania? That's the key.
Nope.
Well, how many viewers did you lose through to SummerSlam, Rob?
Well, you know.
The next WrestleMania was in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think the first one I bought, Punk was on 2K13, right?
Yeah.
He was on 13. That was the first one I bought was with Punk. I don't know if I bought 14. I bought 15, and I think it was 15 I didn't care for, because one of the things that I liked about the 2K games was you could customize matches. And, you know, you can make your own custom matches, and I really like that. And they took that feature out in one of them. I don't remember if it was 15 or 16. They brought it back the following year, but then, you know, just money and budget and, you know, I kind of fall in and out of gaming. So there was probably 2 or 3 years that I didn't buy one. And then I think I didn't buy 2K20, which everybody says I wasn't missing anything.
That was the one that shipped like broken.
Yeah. I didn't get that one. I got from 21 on, I bought all of them. I usually get them like when they're on sale because I'm cheap ass and I don't spend full price for anything. But I went ahead and splurged and got the full WrestleMania 40, mainly for the roster. Like, the roster is incredible. I'm looking at the legends, and I've already used a lot of the legends. You know, Jake the Snake and Dusty Rhodes. It's incredible, the roster is. It's so deep.
Well, I'm excited to get it. I put it on my little wish list, so my Xbox will tell me the next time it's on sale or something.
Yeah, man, definitely get it. You're going to have a blast. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it, I think. And 2K is always good, because it's funny, Rob, you were saying that there was some sort of glitch the first time you played that ambulance match. And 2K is really good about, like, even 2K20, I know we just made fun of it, but it did ship, like, almost unplayable. It was ridiculous. But to be fair to them, if you got it now, I mean, it's playable. Then that just speaks to their ability of they do and what they do with the NBA games. If there's something wrong with it, it gets fixed quick.
The only thing I wish they'd add, and this is just too difficult of a feature. I spend a lot of time in the create mode. I create wrestlers, I create titles. Those are my two big things. I like creating titles and wrestlers. I would love the ability to port those things forward into the next game. And because I hate starting over, because I've got several characters on 2K23. I've got several belts that I'm very proud of that I would love to bring forward. And it's just so time consumptive to go in there and try and duplicate them. And so now I'm creating all new belts and wrestlers again. And that's one thing that I wish they would do, is give you the ability to pull forward from your past creator wrestlers. The other thing, the only glitch that I've noticed, and I played the ambulance match, I didn't notice the glitch that Rob was saying in the chat. When I did a six-woman TLC match, and for 35 minutes, these women beat the hell out of each other. They must have broken like 12 tables. You know, every weapon that they could possibly imagine was pulled out under the ring. Not a single one of them touched the ladder and went for the belt. Not a one of them. Nobody grabbed the ladders out of. They did do two ladder bridge bumps, because they pulled the long ladder out and set it up on the bridge from the announce table to the ring, and they took two awesome bumps, you know, with that thing, and they beat each other up on it. But to actually grab a ladder, throw it in the ring, and go for the title, nobody did that. And then 2 days later, I did it with the men, and I think I did it with like four guys. Same thing. Like at one point, Ciampa grabbed the ladder and threw it in the ring. But 30 minutes later, nobody did anything with the ladder. Nobody went for the belt. So I don't know whether that's just the way the AI was or what, but it's something they need to work on.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Phoenix coach just got teed up, and Celtics are ahead.
Guys, I'm good here if you are.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, kind of a, you know, we're getting close. We're inching closer to WrestleMania. Going to be a lot more to talk about in the next few weeks. But this week was just kind of a, you know, the big news, unfortunately, was not unfortunately. I shouldn't be like that. The big news this week was Mercedes Moné debuting finally in AEW. Huge for them. Huge for their fans. Huge for her. Let's see where they go with it moving forward.
Yeah.
So, DJ means selfishly, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, because as a Sasha Banks fan, I would love to have seen her come back to WWE. Please save her wife from dying, you know, in this feud that she's in with what's left of Damage Control, because your wife is on her own. She's on an island here, and she's about to get destroyed. But that's me fanboying, and that's me, you know, putting on my little fan cap. All the best to her and you know, to that company moving forward.
Just DJ, to that point, like, it's so funny how 50-50 I am on that, because obviously it's not happening, but that fantasy booking of Sasha coming back and you know, partnering up with Bayley to whatever. But I also am like, you got to this point and Bayley's probably going to take it home on her own. And so, like, Bayley started Damage Control, Bayley ends Damage Control, blah, 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 blah. And I'm 50-50 because, as just, again, the same fanboy that thinks it would be very confusing to tell it, you could have got here a different way with the Cody if he walks away from WrestleMania as the champion without some other meteoric changes. So that same fan is like, I love this for, I don't know. It's awesome for everyone, and it's incredible. And as I was going to make the point that the Rock coming back literally at one of the hottest times in the industry is, DJ, to your point, good for everybody.
Yep. All right, I'm going to go back around the room and thank my co-hosts here. Jason, sir, good show tonight, sir. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, boys.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, always fun, my friend.
Yes, always a good time. And I don't have any wisecracks to throw in there, so I'll, you know.
Okay, we'll move on from there. As always, I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We, as always, thank you for sticking with us, for sticking it to the end of the show on the ChairShot Radio Network, again, to be found on thechairshot.com. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.